Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Hey, welcome to church. It is great to see you. And thank you, Brandon. Taking Stephen's job, aren't you? It's great to see you. Welcome to church. My name is David, one of the pastors here, and I want to join with Pastor Amanda and also James in welcoming you here. And we're so excited that you are joining us here. If you're worshiping online via Facebook or our online campus, would you please drop us a note? Let us know you're here. If you'd like to connect with one of our pastors, you can do that. Pastor Amanda is online the entire time, so if you would like someone to pray with you or just talk through some things, feel free. Please reach out to her. But it's great seeing you. We're continuing a series called Stand through the book of Daniel. And Kyle, you may need to turn my mic up just a little bit more in the house. But we're continuing a series through the book of Daniel called Stand. And Daniel is a very fascinating character to me. I read through Daniel several times, but just in the last year and a half, I've concentrated on Daniel in my personal devotional time, just because I'm fascinated with the stories of our biblical ancestors who found their way into a place of influence within the government that they found themselves in. Whether it's Joseph, who found himself connected there in Egypt, or now Daniel. This is just fascinating to me because I believe as Christians who are living in this country, who are living here, we're called to seek the peace and the prosperity of the community, of the country that we live in. Jeremiah 29:7 says us to seek the peace and the prosperity of that. And so that's always fascinated me to understand, as believers, we're called to be involved in the public policy, in the policy process. We're called to be involved in the public square to make this world, to make our community better. And so this is where Daniel finds himself in. Last few weeks we've gone with the Hebrew boys. The Israelites have been placed into exile, and a part of being placed into exile, then the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who first took them into exile, he took the brightest and the best from Israel, and a part of that brightest and the best was Daniel, and Daniel had some friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and we'll jump into their story next week. And Daniel has this place of prominence with not only Nebuchadnezzar, but all the kings that would follow him. Nebuchadnezzar's son. And then when Darius and Cyrus take over, when the Persians and the Medes take over the Babylonians, Daniel is still there. He's able to, he goes through at least three administrations. If you know anything about politics, that's something to be said of when you get a new administrator that you are able to stay on. That says a lot about Daniel, his wisdom, his character. And so Daniel is this guy who's involved there. And it's interesting because at a very young age, Daniel, he's standing out for his faith. At a very young age, they tried to get these Hebrew boys to eat the Babylonian diet. And it was a diet that went against the diet of Yahweh, the one true God. And so they said, no, we can't eat that. And they said, no, you have to. You've got to be strong. And he said, listen, just give us a chance. Let us eat our diet, and I guarantee that we'll be stronger and better than our contemporaries. And so they did that. And they were. So they were able to stand out for their faith. And then we've been reminded that sometimes we have to stand up. We have to stand up for what is right. And even when we stand up, there's a right way to do things. When someone is doing something wrong, when someone is doing something that goes against what God would have us to do, there's a right way and a wrong way to confront. And so we saw stories where where Daniel, he confronted, he stood up to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and the dream wasn't at all what the king would want to hear. But yet Daniel, he confronted the king and said, this is what's going to happen. If you don't change your ways, then this will be your consequences. And then last week we were reminded that we got to stand strong. Last week we were in that the very famous, the very popular story of Daniel in the lion's den. And we understood what it meant to stand strong. Even when there's pressures of society, pressures of all kind of up for on us to make all sorts of decisions, we're called to stand strong. And so today we're going to be in Daniel chapter 10. We're going to begin to look at a vision that Daniel had. We know that the book of Daniel, half of it is historical facts and stories of Daniel's life. And there's other half of it that's vision. Daniel, he sees these visions. He gets a word from the Lord. He gets a revelation from the Lord many times. And so in Daniel chapter 10, we're going to see that Daniel has a very overwhelming encounter with the Lord. He's heard some overwhelming news as well. You see, in Daniel chapter 10, it's probably around 537 B.C. Verse 1, if you see there, verse 1 breaks in. It tells you about the third reign of Cyrus. That's about 537 B.C. or so. And what has happened is the Israelites, they've been allowed to go back to Jerusalem. They've been allowed to go back and begin to rebuild. You can find those stories in the book of Ezra, in the book of Nehemiah. You see how the Bible kind of comes together? I think sometimes we read our Bibles and we think that each book is a certain timeline, but many of these books, they coincide with one another. So what's happening in Daniel chapter 10, the vision that Daniel is getting here in Daniel chapter 10 coincides with the history that you find in books like Nehemiah and books like Ezra. And so the Israelites, they were allowed to go back to Jerusalem to begin to rebuild. But they began to receive opposition there. And so Daniel receives word that the rebuilding, that their hope of rebuilding is not going as planned. And so immediately, Scripture says, Daniel begins to go into a moment of fast. Scripture says that for 21 days he doesn't eat, he doesn't allow drink to touch his lips. He doesn't use any body lotion. And really what that means is he didn't take a bath. Now some of us, I know we fast, and I want you to fast. I want you to fast, and I want you to pray, but I want you to keep on taking a bath. Okay? There's some things that you take from, yeah, amen. You take from Scripture literally, and there's some things that you just know, hey, okay, that was historical, so we'll just leave it there. Okay? But literally, when Scripture says that he didn't use body lotions, literally he didn't take a bath, but this was the state that he was in. He had heard that things back in Jerusalem were not going as planned. And see, Daniel, he's back not in Babylon, but he's in another Persian city, because it says that he stood on the banks of the Tigris River. Now the Euphrates River would have gone near Babylon, but the Tigris River was a different location, about 45 miles in a different location. And so we know that Daniel is not in Jerusalem, but he's here. He's still in the city where of exile, and he begins to get this vision. And he gets this vision after 21 days of fervent prayer, 21 days of fasting. Have you ever had a situation where your hopes have been rearranged? Anyone ever been there? Anyone ever been in a situation where your hopes have been rearranged? This past week, we were had a chance to go to Hilton Head Sunday evening, and we came back Tuesday, and we went to the beach, and, you know, Avery, man, he all week we passed some of the putt-putt courses, you know, and he loves putt-putt. If you ask him, you know, kind of what his sport is, he goes, I'm putt-putt. I'm mini golf. You know, that's his thing. And I'm saying, Avery, putt-putt, you know, you want to get into golf. He goes, no, I'm putt-putt. I said, okay, all right, well, you know, you do you. And so we saw a couple of those. He goes, I want to go play putt-putt. And I said, Avery, we're going to try to make it. And so Tuesday we were going to leave, and we had went to the beach, and on the way out of town, I said, Avery, we want to go, and we'll take all your cousins, and we're going to go play putt-putt. So we got all dressed, and we were ready to go, and he just had, he was just so hopeful that we were going to go play putt-putt. Well, if you know the weather this week, it's been kind of crazy, and even at the beach, it rains, and it'll come in and out, and so it began to rain. And I said, well, this is probably just a beach rain. It's just kind of moving through, and we'll see. So we're driving to the mini golf place, and then all of a sudden it's like boom, boom, lightning bolt starts striking. And I'm like, oh, man. And Avery's in the other car with my brother, and I text him. I said, hey, can you begin to go ahead and prepare Avery that I don't think mini golf is going to work out. You know, with kids, you kind of gotta prep them for disappointment sometimes, right? And so we get there and we tell him, and he understood. And so then, well, let's just go eat at this Italian restaurant that we really like down in Hilton Head. He goes, all right, we go there. Well, it's a 45-minute wait. It's packed. Everyone's wearing masks and Corona's everywhere. So we're like, you know what? We're just gonna not go there. I said, Avery, we're gonna just go on home. And he's like, so I don't get putt-putt and I don't even get Italian food. And I said, yeah, I'm sorry, bud. You know, his hopes were rearranged. And that's a very lighthearted story. And I know that you have been in situations way more dire and way more serious. But we've all been in situations where what we had hoped for didn't begin to become a reality. And this is a story with the Israelites. They had hoped that they were going to return. And they did return, but it wasn't going quite the way they had planned. And so after 21 days of fasting, Daniel has this intense meeting with this heavenly being. Look at verses 5 through 7. Daniel chapter 10, we're going to pick up at verses 5 through 7. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. And so we have a very interesting narrative here. This is a point of scripture where you find it's very, very interesting. You see some images, and if you're kind of new to studying the Bible, some of these images are kind of like, man, what's going on here? And I'm going to be honest with you. There's some Star Wars-like stuff that's going to be happening here in this chapter. You know, there's going to be the Force Jedi type of encounters that Daniel is going to have. And so he has this encounter with this heavenly being. Some believe that this is a image of the pre-incarnated Christ. This is what they call a Christophany. There's moments in the Old Testament where you get images of the pre-incarnate Christ. Some believe that. Some believe it's an angel. But what we know is it's certainly a heavenly being that has a message for Daniel. A very important message for Daniel. And then verses 8 through 9. So he was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep. My face to the ground. This is interesting. Have you ever had an encounter in scripture? Have you ever had an encounter with God where, man, it just really just spoke to you? Maybe it was a song that you've heard. It really just, man, it just hit you. It opens so many things up for you, and you go to your friend and you say, hey, let me tell you what God's doing. Let me tell you what God has revealed to me. And they don't always get it. Maybe they don't see why you're so excited. And this is Daniel. He's got this vision. He has this encounter with this heavenly being. He begins to fall into this trance, and his friends who are with him, they left. They left. And that's the way it is sometimes. Sometimes God just has a word just for you. And the presence of God can be so heavy. And that's a good thing. Have you ever been there? Have you been there when the presence of God has just been so heavy that you can barely stand up, you can barely walk? And so Daniel, he has this encounter with God. Now I'm going to be honest with you. So Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12, they're all connected. So 10 is just the beginning of a full vision that he's going to receive in 11 and 12. And there are multiple ways to interpret what you're going to see here in chapter 11 and chapter 12. We see images like the prince of Persia or the prince of Greece. There's one coming from the south and from the north. And there's so many different directions in which we can take that. But what I want you to hear, what I want you to know from here is there's some historical things that we have to consider. That, yes, there was a kingdom called Persia. And yes, there was a kingdom called Greece. This would have been about the time that Alexander the Great would have been rising into prominence. And so there are some historical connections here. But there's also this very real connection that I think the Lord is trying to tell Daniel. That we live in a world where there's always going to be some sort of superpower trying to rise up. As long as we're on this side of eternity, there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars. And we, as the people of God, we're called to remain faithful. We, as the people of God, despite who's in charge, despite who the president is, despite whether we're in the United States of America or some other or some developing world, we're called to be the people of God. Even when things don't go the way that we had hoped, we're called to be the people of God. And so this is what I want you to know today. No one cares about you more than God. This is what Daniel found out. This is what Daniel found out here in chapter 10. No one cares about you more than God. Maybe you're in a situation where your hopes have been rearranged. Maybe you're in a situation where you've been praying for that son or that daughter to receive Christ, that adult child who is wayward. Maybe you're praying for a financial situation in your life. What we're going to find out today is no one cares more about you than God. Look at verses 10 through 11. So Daniel, he's had this great encounter with God. He feels weak. He feels overwhelmed. It's like he can't take it all in. And then look at verses 10 through 11. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Some more modern translations will say, it says, he stood me up. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Some translations say, you are precious to me. You are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up. For I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. I don't know what hopes have been rearranged in your life recently. But we serve a God who sees us as highly esteemed. We are precious to God. I think that's so important. The same way that we see our children, the same way that our kids are precious to us, even when they're a little aggravating sometimes, through all of that, they are still precious to us. And this is how our Heavenly Father sees us. And he lets Daniel know that. We also need to remember that God is moving even when we cannot see. Don't forget. When Daniel heard of the news that things were not going well with the rebuild, when he heard that news, don't forget, he began praying. He began to fast for 21 days. Now, 21 days is a long time if you're praying for something. It depends how you see time. For some, it may go by. I don't know. You ever pray about something and you're not sure? You're not sure if God is listening? Look at verses 12 through 13. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. You guys hear that? You see that, church? 21 days ago, Daniel had heard news that really rearranged all of his hopes. And the angel came to him, this heavenly being came to him and says, as soon as you set your mind, as soon as you begin to pray, as soon as you begin to fast, as soon as you begin to seek my face, I heard you. And now I'm here. I mean, look at verse 13. Again, I told you there's some Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi type situations here. Look at verse 13. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. You guys have to know something. We are a church that believes that spiritual warfare is out there. Spiritual warfare is true, church. Now, I don't believe there's a demon behind every bush and everything that goes wrong in my life. I don't say, well, that's the demon's trying to get me. That's the devil trying to get me. I'm not there, but I'm just wanting you to know that there is a battle for our soul. That there are princes and principalities at work. The Apostle Paul talks about how Satan is kind of the prince of the air, so to speak, on this side of eternity. So we have to remember that spiritual warfare is real. And so this is what we see here. This heavenly being, this angel, if you want to call him, from God, is coming to help Daniel. But he's encountered by what you would call a fallen angel. You guys remember in your Bible study, there's images in our Old Testament that points us to the truth that way before the creation of the world, Satan was in heaven and he tried he was one of the angels, but he wanted to be like God, and so there's this image of fallen angels, those who were removed from heaven. And so this prince of the Persian kingdom is probably a fallen angel who is trying to combat what God is trying to do. In the New Testament, we call them demons. But he says, as soon as I heard, we came. But I was resisted for 21 days. You guys see that? 21 days. He was resisted for 21 days. How long did David fast? You guys see that connection there? I mean, if you don't understand that when we pray, when we fall on our knees before God, our prayers are heard. And so please know that God is moving even when you don't see Him moving in your life. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 reminds us, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us. So He's moving when we cannot see. And we serve a God who is doing far more for us than we could ever imagine. Folks, that's great news. That God is working on our behalf. That He's doing far more than we can ever imagine. I don't know about you, but sometimes my imagination is very limited. It's limited to human thought. It's limited to human perspective. And the Bible says that God is doing, wants to do more than we could ever imagine. And also know that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Look at verses 17 through 19. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid. You are highly esteemed, or you are precious, he said. Peace, be strong now. Be strong. You know, I'm convinced that in order to fully understand the power of God, We have to understand and recognize our weakness. There's nothing that we can do on our own power. It reminds me a while back we were working out weightlifting at the gym, and been doing that for a little bit, and was there with Aaron, and there was another guy there that he knew. I didn't know him, so he kind of got in with us, and we were doing some bench press stuff and working out chest, and so we're doing our thing. And Aaron and this guy who, have worked out together before, they say, "Hey, let's burn out." And I was like, "Burn out? Last time I did that was in a car. What were we talking about?" They said, "Come on, David, get on the bench. We're going to burn you out." And I'm like, "I don't know if this is a really good idea. This sounds like it might hurt." And so if you don't know, a burnout is where you take the bar down to a very light weight. This is kind of at the end of your workout. So you take it down, maybe just down to the bar, which is about 45 pounds, and you just start going with it. And at first you're like, "Oh, guys, I got this. This is easy." And they said, "Okay, we'll do that 50 more times." I'm like, 50? So we're just going. About rep number 20, I'm like, "Okay, it's too bad." About rep 25 to 30, I'm like, it just started like hurting. I mean, your chest is just on fire, And I'm like, "Can I stop now?" They go, no, "You're doing good. Give me about 25 more." And I'm like, "Okay." And finally, Aaron comes behind me and begins to spot me, because I'm like, "Dude, I just can't go anymore." They're like, "All right, come on, five more. I'm like, at some point, I was just kind of going through the motion. I'm pretty sure it was Aaron who was actually just up and down, because I got to a point where I could not go anymore in my strength. I had to rely on the strength of my spotter. And I think that's where we are. That's where we need to be spiritually. We need to get to a point where we say, "God, I cannot do this on my own. God, I recognize my weakness. God, I recognize that I'm not worthy. God, I recognize that in this situation, I don't fully understand why this is happening, or why this is taking place in my family. But Lord, you have to literally carry me through this." So God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Romans 8:26 reminds us that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Guys, I can tell you, when I was on that bench doing the burnout, whatever, I got to a point where I had just wordless groans. I'd gotten so weak. And so maybe you're there. Maybe you've reached the end of your rope, so to speak. Well, you know that we serve a God that through our wordless groans, Lord, through our inability to comprehend, we have a God who intercedes for us. So as we begin to wrap it up, please know a spiritual battle is real. But church, the place that we begin battle is on our knees. The place where we begin battle is on our knees. What are you praying about these days? What has you concerned? Is it a family situation? Have you received some news from a doctor, and you just don't know what it all means? As soon as you began to pray, do you know that heaven began to hear you? Do you know that heaven began to move on your behalf as soon as you began to pray? This is what Daniel found out. Daniel was all excited in his old age that the Israelites, they were returning to Jerusalem. They were beginning the process of rebuilding. Some things that they thought were going to happen were beginning to happen, he thought. But then it began to turn out just different than what he thought. And God came to him and said, "Listen, It's okay. I'm with you. It's okay. In your weakness, I am going to be your strength. That's the God we serve, church. That's the God we serve. Our God is a way maker. Our God is a God who hears us in our wordless groans, who hears us when we can't even put A and B together of why things are going the way they are. And so this morning, I want you to know that God is moving in your behalf. God cares about you more than anyone else can or does. And God's moving when we cannot even see. That situation that you're praying about, God is moving in that situation right now. Just trust Him. Trust in His strength. Let's worship the Lord together as we continue in singing.